begin this morning by reading with you five Bible passages. And as we read these five Bible passages together, I want you to be thinking in your mind, what do they have in common? Let's start with Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of Jehovah came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Turn with me to Psalm 19 and verse 11. Psalm 19 and verse 11. Moreover, by them, the psalmist had been talking about God's word, moreover, by them, God's word, his laws, his commandments, is thy servant warned, in keeping them, there is great reward. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. But love your enemies and do them good and lend, never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be sons of the Most High, for he is kind toward the unthankful and evil. And then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away therefore your boldness, which has great recompense of reward. What did all five of these passages have in common? They all spoke of a great reward. When we come into this life, we are introduced to the principle of rewards and punishments. We are born into a world where that is a common principle. It starts with our parents. They will reward us for good behavior. They will punish us for bad behavior. And if we are doing what is good, they will reward us for that good behavior. If we obey and if we eat our vegetables, we will get some sort of a good reward. And then we get up a little bit older and we go to school. And teachers will reward us. There's rewards for good behavior. There's punishments for bad behavior. So if we, you know, study hard, grades are a form of reward. I remember in elementary school, and Linda Hensley would remember this, I'm sure, that if y'all behave, I'll give you an extra recess today. Remember that? An extra recess or extra long recess. I'll let you stay out on the playground an extra 15 minutes. I remember that. We're introduced to this concept early on in life, even apart from God. Although I would say that much of that concept comes from Scripture, but even if we weren't in a religious family, we were introduced early on to the concept of rewards for good behavior and punishments for bad behavior. And then after the school years, we get on up a little bit older and we go out into the workforce and our employer does the same thing. So if you'll, you know, give me a quality product, and if you'll increase your productivity, then we're going to give you some sort of a reward for that. You'll get a plaque, you'll get something. We go through life like that. If we're in a sport, for example, coaches will reward their players for a hard workout practice or winning a game. The Lord does the same. This morning I want to talk a little bit about Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, Great is your reward in heaven. In the scripture reading this morning, the rich young ruler has just walked away. He didn't want to follow Jesus. And the disciples say to Jesus, well, then who can be saved? And God says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You have to follow God's will. And then Peter says, we've left all. And in the parallel accounts, he asks the question, what do we get? We've left all to follow you. What do we get? And notice that Jesus answered that question. He didn't say, well, I don't want to talk about any rewards or incentives. He actually told them that in this life, you're going to get some things. And then in the life to come, you're going to have eternal life. In the world to come, you will have eternal life. That's Jesus saying, there's incentive for being a disciple of mine. Rewards are incentives for becoming a Christian and remaining faithful. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to encourage us to continuing to think about becoming a Christian and living faithfully each day. Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. And there's no greater reward in life than a home in heaven. This morning we're going to answer the question, why is it that heaven is a great reward? What makes it so great? In hopes of encouraging us to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ, and to remain faithful to Him each day. All of us respond to incentives. And we've been trained that way from early on. Parents trained us to respond. You're going to get a reward for good behavior. We learned that early on. We learned it in school. We learned it at work. We learned it from a coach. God is doing the same. And there's an incentive for you to keep being here on a weekly basis and during the week to keep living faithfully. And our young people and all of the pressures and problems of the world that they're in, they have an incentive to keep being faithful. And it's a great reward. Now, all of us in life have been rewarded in some way or another with things of this life. You might have a box at home of some childhood or school days period of reward. You might have some ribbons in a box, or you might have a trophy. Some of our kids have some running trophies on a shelf, and all they do is collect dust, and you got to move them around and re-dust and everything. But there's trophies, and there's ribbons, and there's plaques. And we've gotten some rewards before, I'm sure, in life. But they're nothing like heaven. And so I want to answer the question this morning, why is it that our reward is great in heaven? What makes it so great? That's what we want to consider this morning. Now, I can't think of a better place to talk about heaven in Scripture than at the very end of God's Word. If you'll turn with me to Revelation, the end of chapter 20, and we're going to look at some things at the end of chapter 20 and 21, and then at the beginning of chapter 22. There are a bunch of places that we could go to in the Bible to make our point this morning, but I want to use the end of the book of Revelation as our starting point for each of these four points. We're going to notice this morning that eternal life in heaven is the greatest reward, number one, because of where heaven is, number two, because of what heaven is, number three, because of who is there, and number four, what we will be doing there. And again, we could illustrate that from a number of Bible passages, and I will be referencing some other passages this morning, but I want to primarily start each time with the end of the book of Revelation. And we're going to start with Revelation chapter 20, and verse 11. Why is it that our reward is great in heaven? Well, first of all, it's great in heaven because of where it is. Can you reload that, please? That's even better, Jeff. I like that. Just advance it. Go ahead and advance to our first point. Our reward is great in heaven because of where heaven is. Are you able to advance it back there? If you could do that, please. Look at Revelation, thank you, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. This is This is at the very end of God's Word. At the very end of God's Word, God, Jesus, in this revelation to the seven churches through John, is wanting to end on a very positive note, and that is, I want to talk about the coming judgment day, and I want to talk mostly about heaven. I will mention briefly hell, chapter 21, verse 8, but most of this is about heaven. I want us to focus on going to heaven, Jesus says. And that's how our Bible ends. Our Bible ends with this picture of the judgment day and the prospect of going to heaven. And that's where our minds need to be each and every day. And the first thing that we learn from this passage is that heaven is somewhere else. You hear a lot today, and there have been songs about heaven on earth and things like that. But in chapter 20 and verse 11, John writes, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, God the Father, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Notice that in your Bible. The heaven and the earth that we are familiar with, there's going to come a time when there is no place for them. It's going to be gone. I would suggest to you this morning, as we begin, that heaven is a great reward because of where it is. It is not on this earth. You know, there are some beautiful things on this earth. In fact, we have the Montagues and others on vacation. We will go to places that are very beautiful. We'll go to Hawaii. We'll go to Cancun. We'll go to the Bahamas. I remember one time, I was about 10 years old. Mom and Dad said, "Okay, we're going to the Bahamas. Y'all, you know, kind of fend for yourself." And I had an older brother, and he kind of watched out. Some church members came, and my sister came and watched. "We're going to go to the Bahamas." I thought, man, that's a bad deal. Why can't I go? People take cruises to Alaska. There are some beautiful places, and I'm sure some of you have seen some very beautiful places. But I'm here to tell you that there is no place on earth like heaven. Heaven is not going to be on this earth. It's not going to be restored. It's not going to be revamped. It's not going to be something just similar to... And the Grand Canyon is beautiful, and Niagara Falls is beautiful, and all these places in the world are beautiful, but there is nothing like heaven. It is not here. And I want us to be reminded that you can go somewhere on this earth and see some really nice things. There's no doubt about that. But it's nothing like heaven. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter reminds us that the earth and the works therein will be burned up. This place that we inhabit now is no longer going to be here. And just a few verses later in verse 13, he says, "We look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Heaven will not be on this earth because there will be no earth for it to be on. It will be gone one day. We will be in a completely new place. And that's one reason why Jesus says, "Great is your reward in heaven." Back in Revelation chapter 21 now, if you come past, we read verse 11, if you read the next few verses, you're reading about the coming judgment day. And then in Revelation chapter 21 in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Look at this. "For the first heaven and the first earth," that's what we're experiencing now, "are passed away." But some people today are saying, including a few brethren, no, it actually means it's still going to be around. No, passed away means passed away. It's gone. And heaven is the greatest reward. Great is your reward in heaven because of where it is. God made a very beautiful place. And there are some beautiful places on the face of this earth to go visit. But it's nothing like the grandeur and glory of heaven. So this morning I want us to remember that heaven is the greatest reward because of where it is. But in the second place, We need to understand that heaven is the greatest reward because of what is there. And we need to remember this. You know, there are some things, as I've said, on the face of this earth that are beautiful to visit. And there are some experiences here in this life that are beautiful to experience. You might experience a beautiful sunset, or you might go to the ocean and see those. And, well, I want to see the sunrise or the sunset on the ocean. And that's a beautiful sight. And there's some other things in this life that are interesting and enjoyable. But this life is nothing like what will be experienced in heaven. Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." There's going to be a reward there. Paul calls it a prize in 1 Corinthians 9 and Colossians 2 and verse 18, a prize. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. It's a home. It's a prize to be claimed. It's a home to be shared. Paul wanted to depart and be with Christ and be at home. Be at home, 2 Corinthians 5, 8, with the Lord. It's a home to be shared. It's a life to be experienced. Jesus told Peter and the others after the rich young ruler had walked off, "In the world to come, eternal life." It's a rest to be taken. We've been studying in the book of Hebrews in the adult class, Hebrews 4:11. Give diligence to enter into that rest. Revelation 14 and verse 13, a rest to be enjoyed from laboring in the Christian life. It's an inheritance to be received, 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, which fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's a citizenship to be enjoyed. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. And I know you realize this, but as American citizens, do you realize the privileges that you have that people around the world do not have? There have been times when I've traveled before and I've been talking with my brethren at other places and they'll say something like, "You mean y'all are allowed to do that?" I'm like, yeah, we're allowed to do that. Wow, we're not allowed to do that. And I'm sure we all, hopefully, and I want our young people to appreciate the privileges you have as an American citizen. That's one of the problems with people in our country today is they're leading us down the wrong path because they don't appreciate what we have and what was given to us by our founding fathers. They don't do that. And that's one reason why we're having problems today. But our spiritual citizenship, we need to appreciate that and understand that Jesus gave us that and how to hold on to that and how to experience that one day in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven whence we wait for a Savior, Philippians 3:20. And we'll be able to exercise that citizenship there. We're going to be given a spiritual body, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 48 and 49, that will never decay. That'll be nice. We have to deal with old age problems from time to time, and the older we get, the more trips we make to the doctor and so forth. That's just natural. But we're going to be given a heavenly body that will not decay. But there's more. You remember those infomercials that you've seen on TV where somebody says, you need to buy this product and you need to buy this product. And then the guy says, "But wait, there's more. If you act right now in the next 5 minutes, we'll throw in this. There's more." I just mentioned a reward, a home, a life, a rest, an inheritance, a citizenship, and a heavenly body. But there's more. That would be enough. That should encourage us enough. But there's more. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16, again studying in the book of Hebrews. We have a city whose builder and maker is God. We have a heavenly country. Hebrews 13:14. We can exercise this citizenship in a heavenly city and in a heavenly country. And this country that we're in is beautiful. It has been in the past beautiful. If we don't turn some things around, it may not be as beautiful as it once was. We sang as a child growing up in school and other places, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain." Well, we're going to lose that beauty if we don't turn some things around. But what we see here in this country is nothing like the city and the heavenly country that we are going to. There's going to be a beautiful garden there. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. A beautiful garden of paradise. Do you know that your Bible begins and ends with paradise? Did you know that? Did you know that your Bible, the Bible story, the Bible story of God and humanity begins and ends with a garden? God intends for mankind, Adam and Eve, He made them and placed them in a garden. He placed them there. That was purposeful. And what was lost with Adam and Eve, they were put out of the garden, is regained in Jesus Christ. The whole Bible story is paradise lost and regained. Look sometime in your Bible at Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22. Look at the comparisons there and the similarities, and what was lost in Adam and Eve is now regained in Jesus Christ. We can be in a garden and we can be around God's throne. That's what God has always intended, for him to be in fellowship with mankind in a beautiful place. And so in Revelation 22:1, "And he showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb, in the midst of the tree, and on this side of the river, and on that was the tree of life, spanning the river, bearing 12 manners of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no curse anymore. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." We'll come back to that later. "And there shall be no night anymore. They need no lamp, light of lamp, neither light of sun. For the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Why do I want to become a Christian and remain faithful each and every day? There's an incentive. Great is your reward in heaven. Because of where it is and what it is. Nothing like we are experiencing in this life. It's a place of joy and comfort and no sickness or sorrow. Look at chapter 21 with me. In verse 4, "God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore. The first things are passed away." We have to experience those things in this life, but we won't have to experience those things there. It's a place of righteousness where no uncleanness is. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into anything unclean." In this life, we have to be around sin and degradation and uncleanness. Won't be any of that there. It's a place of eternity with no time limitations. We already read in verse 5, there's no night anymore. There's no rotation of the earth on its axis, giving us day and night, and then no rotation around the sun, giving us our yearly count. There's none of that. There's no time. And we can't even fathom that. I have a hard time fathoming. Everything in our life is based upon seconds and minutes and hours. Just imagine a place where there won't be any time calendar, any way to assess that. It's a place where there's going to be a grand reunion. Sometimes we like to go to family reunions, but Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, that brethren who have died and gone on, they're going to be raised and caught up with those living, faithful Christians. There's going to be a reunion of brethren. And that's going to be an encouraging thing. And there's going to be a crown that you can wear. We don't wear crowns. The only time somebody wears a crown today is maybe a school project or something, or maybe back in Bible class, the teachers might make a little crown for the kids. We don't wear crowns in our world and in our society. When was the last time you were at Walmart and some guy was walking around with a crown? You know, you just don't see that. So when we read crowns in the New Testament, that you're going to have a crown of righteousness, that may not register as much to us as it does to those in the first century, but it's a picture and a symbol of royalty and victory and prize and accomplishment. It's a very great thing. And it's everywhere in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9:25 and Philippians 4:1 and 2 Thessalonians 2:19 and 2 Timothy 2:5, James 1:12 and on, a crown. Crown of righteousness. Heaven is the greatest reward because of what it is. Heaven is the greatest reward because of what it is. Hopefully that gives us incentive to continue on. Heaven is the greatest reward because of who is there. Back in Revelation chapter 21 now, come down with me. We've read verses 1. Let's read verse 2. And I saw the holy city. I talked about that earlier. We have a new city, a new country to go to. New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Who is going to be there? The Almighty God of the universe is going to be on his throne, and throughout the book of Revelation, there are those heavenly beings that are already around his throne. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 2, come up, or verse 1, come up and I will show you these things that must come to pass. I was in the Spirit, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting upon the throne, and there's a description of him, and you come on down to verse 8, there are these heavenly beings around that throne. Verse 9, and when the living creature shall give glory and honor and thanks to him that sits on the throne, we get to join that crowd. Think about the God of the universe being there. Jesus Christ will be there. Stephen looked up into heaven and saw Jesus at the right hand of God. Acts 7. You get to be with the one that we talk about him all our life, and we have the Lord's Supper, and we give sermons, and we talk, but you actually get to be with him. We're no longer just talking about him, we're with him. We're no longer talking about God. It's no longer a sermon. It's no longer a Bible class. It's no longer information. It's in the presence of. What a great thing. God is there. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. All the holy angels. You know, a lot of times we preach about Luke 15. When a sinner repents, there's joy in heaven. And the angels rejoice, and we talk about that. You get to be around those very angels. Gabriel is mentioned by name, and Michael is mentioned by name in Scripture. You get to be around those beings. All the Old Testament righteous will be there. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus said that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be in the kingdom. Just think of any Old Testament righteous character you want, man or woman. They're going to be there, and you get to be with them. Just pick out your favorite Old Testament Bible character. Just pick one out. You get to be in that crowd. All the New Testament righteous individuals will be there. Pick out a New Testament individual, man or woman. They're going to be there. Now, in this life, there are some nice people to be around. You know, some people, well, I want to be around the president. I want to be around Governor Lee. I want to be around the mayor. I want to be around the head of the company. We got people, athletes, musicians, movie stars, music stars. There's people that we want to be around. We'd like to be in the room with them. Just pick out who those kinds of people are. But they are nothing compared to the crowd in heaven. And I'm not trying to put anybody down in this life, but that is nothing compared to being around God, around His throne, in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and all of the Old Testament righteous of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Paul says, all who loved the Lord, 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, He's going to be there, and all who loved the Lord's appearing. I want to be around people who truly love the Lord. There's not going to be any hypocrites there. There's not going to be any frauds and fakes and people who put on an air of religion on the outside, but on the inside you find out something else is going on. It's all who truly love the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:8. All the little innocent and sinless children. All the millions of them that have been aborted since 1973. The millions of them. And all the little innocent children and all of the unborn and the newborn and the young toddlers. The ones that are so discarded by society today. That'll be refreshing. All who are committed to Jesus. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 with regard to the seven churches of Asia. Each of the seven letters ends the same way. To him that overcomes. In every, that's, we get our Nike from that. Nike shoes. Means victory. To him that overcomes, there are brethren in each of these congregations that have the potential of overcoming, and then the reward of heaven is given, typically in that same verse, some reward involving heaven is given there to him that overcomes. You're talking about every committed Christian who's willing to even die, chapter 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, unto the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. You're going to be around people who are truly committed. Not bench warmers and pew warmers and just fair weather Christians. You're going to be around people who were truly committed in their life. That is going to be so refreshing. And you're going to be around all righteous Christians. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the dead in Christ will be raised and they will be joined with the living in Christ. And maybe you can think of some brethren that you have known in your lifetime that you'll get to be around again. Maybe some family, maybe a gospel preacher, maybe a Bible class teacher, maybe a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister. Someone who obeyed the gospel, was baptized into Christ, and they lived faithfully their whole life. Did they not have temptations? Oh, they had temptations, but they learned how to deal with that. And did they have problems? Oh yeah, they learned how to deal with that. And they lived faithfully each and every day. And when they did sin, they immediately corrected that and humbly repented of that and confessed it to the Lord and got back to serving the Lord. What a great crowd to be in. And so, heaven is our greatest reward because of who is there. And then last of all, heaven is the greatest reward because of why individuals, why the saved will be there. We looked at this already in chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. It's not going to be sitting around twiddling our thumbs and daydreaming and maybe sitting under a palm tree somewhere and, you know, sipping on some lemonade and just kind of shooting the breeze. It's going to be eternity of praising God in His immediate presence. And to serve Him, verse 3, there is no greater being in all the universe to serve. His servant shall serve Him. It'll be one eternal worship service. In chapter 19 and verse 1, those around the throne are singing with a great voice, a great multitude in heaven, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. You back up a little bit more to chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. Those around the throne are singing the song of Moses, and they're singing, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God the Almighty. You back up a little more to chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. There are those who are singing around the throne, and their voice was as of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And you back up even more to chapter 7, verses 11 and following, down through verse 17, and you find the same. They are before the throne of God, verse 15, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He sits on the throne, He shall spread His tabernacle over them. I love being with my brethren to sing and to study the Bible, and I'm sure you do as well. I love to sing. And if I'll stay faithful, I get to sing a lot more. Do you like to sing? Do you like to be here? Those who are in heaven are those who enjoy worshiping God now. Those who enjoy worshiping God now, it's not a drudgery, it's not a have to, it's not a, I can't wait to get out of there. I really enjoy being there. Those are the kind of people that are going to be in heaven. Praising and serving God, how amazing that will be. You know, there's all kinds of things in life that you might even find fun to do. You know, you might like going to a theme park. You might like we said earlier, going on a vacation to visit different kinds of things. But none of that will be in heaven. It will be an experience. Why we are there is to be in God's immediate presence and have direct access to Him and to worship around His throne. How can you ask for anything better than that? Wow. And so, as I close this morning, I want us to remind us of how great our reward is. Don't ever let that pale in comparison to the other things that are going on in life. Don't ever let something that is so great like that be brought down to just the mundane and the mediocre of life. God said to Abraham, I'm your great reward. And I hope all of us this morning will obey God. The psalmist said, with God's word, in keeping them, God's word, there is great reward. That's why I'm going to get up and come forward and I'm going to be baptized into Christ, because God's word is commanding me to do that. And the psalmist says that if I do that, there'll be a great reward. And it starts with forgiveness of sins, which is great. And it just continues on from there. And yes, there's going to be some difficult times in life. Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted like the prophets of old. But great is your reward in heaven. You're going to have some people say and do things that are ugly. That's right. But you keep living faithfully, great is your reward in heaven. And the author of Hebrews recognizes that there's going to be problems. And in Hebrews 10, he talks about having your things taken away from you. In chapter 13 and verse 2, he'll talk about being put in prison. There's going to be some problems for New Testament Christians. And you're going to be a spectacle and people are going to make fun of you. But don't cast away your boldness, which has great recompense of reward. What a great thing to understand that God is giving us an incentive. It's called heaven. And because of where it is, and because of who's going to be there, and because of what we're going to be doing there, and because of why we're going to be there, those things remind us this morning from God's Word to become a Christian and to keep living faithfully each and every day. Now that great reward is not for someone who has sin in their life. That reward is not for them. And so you need to become a Christian. You need to obey the gospel. You need to be baptized into Christ. It's not for the Christian who has erred and gone back into the world. It's not for that person. So we need to come back to Christ if we need to do that. We're going to sing this song, Jesus, I Come. We're coming to Jesus. And we're coming to much more. Great is your reward in heaven. And if we can help you to do that this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?